Good morning. It's time to open our Bibles. So take out your iPad, iPhone, paper Bible, online, offline, whatever you use, and find the book of Psalms. And we're going to look at Psalm 13, which is right about dead center in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 13, if you would turn there. We're going to read it. We're going to come back and make some observations. You may want to keep it open. You may want to see what we're pointing out there in this great psalm. And we want to look at overcoming depression out of here today, and God wants to bring some victories for us. The title at the top of Psalm 13 says, "For the Director of Music, a Psalm of David." And so this is a psalm written by King David, the great man of God in this season of the Old Testament. And we start out in verse 1, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say I've overcome him and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." Psalm 13. Keep it open there. Follow along and see what God is going to say to you out of Psalm 13 in this area of overcoming depression. The Central New York and Syracuse area is a place where blues music is one of the preferred kinds of music. We have a blues fest. We have a lot of joints that play blues through the week. It's one of the more popular kinds of music. Now, I'm a jazz guy myself. Okay. And you may want to know, is Bill Iacco here? Where's Bill? There's Bill. Bill was up here on Keys of the Lord. Donna and I have fellowship with Bill at most of the jazz events in Central New York. We see each other all the time. So, Bill, you know the difference? But this is what Rick Montalbano told me a couple weeks ago. The difference between a blues musician and a jazz musician. Rick says a blues musician knows three chords and plays for 10,000 people. And a jazz musician knows 10,000 chords and plays for three people. Is there some truth to that? Well, I bring up the blues because here in Psalm 13, we have the Hebrew blues, so to speak. We have a type of poem here, a type of song that is like a Hebrew blues. In fact, there's a technical name for it. It's called a lament. This is a lament psalm or a lament song or, again, the Hebrew blues. And there are several of them through the Bible. There's one back in Psalm 6 is a lament, Psalm 13. There are several others. And there's a whole book in the Bible called Lamentations, which is a whole series of this type of Hebrew blues called Lamentations. It was the blues of the prophet Jeremiah. And so throughout the Old Testament here, we have this type of Hebrew blues. And what it does is it gives us a pattern of dealing with those laments, a pattern of dealing with those blues, a pattern of coming to grips with dark thoughts. And before we get into the meat of it, I need to very clearly explain that there's a spectrum of depression. So when we talk about overcoming depression, I don't want to be over simple and I don't want to be over complicated. I want to be clear, though, that there is a wide spectrum of what we call depression that spans all the way from major depression to the Monday morning blues and everything in between. The Monday morning blues is how you feel when you wake up tomorrow morning and San Francisco has lost. Or Lewis broke his leg. I don't know who you're rooting for, okay? The Monday morning blues are when you wake up and you're just out of sorts and you feel a little bit in a funk, and maybe it's not Monday, but sometime during the week, and all of a sudden you feel a little down and you have a few dark thoughts. And that goes all the way from that type of depression that we might call it, all the way to major depression. Major depression is when your brain begins to function in some ways that aren't so healthy. It gets a wrong kind of electrical and chemical responses, and your neurotransmitters get depleted, and your thought life and your mood life is not working correctly. Now, if you're way over on this side on the Monday blues, all you really need to deal with that is a good cup of coffee. You know, or hey, go get your nails done. Have a massage. Listen to some good tunes. Do, you know, really, if it's Monday morning blues, we have ways that we can deal with that place where we get in a funk and we can come out of it. On the other hand, if you're way over in the area of major depression, this requires some medical intervention because this is an illness. Now, the brain as an organ is not working the way God intended it. And we know what it's like when other organs don't work. You know, when our heart doesn't work in the right way, we know what it's like to have to take a high blood pressure medication or something to get things working correctly. Or if our pancreas doesn't work the way it's supposed to, we know what it's like for people to have to take insulin or something to deal with what's not working correctly when the pancreas isn't going. And we know what it's like to have to take a medication for a digestive system and so on and so forth. Well, here's a system that can get depleted and get functioning in the wrong way, and it needs help. And just like we have specialists for all these kind of things, we have a cardiologist and we have an endocrinologist and the gastroenterologist. For our brain not working correctly, we have a psychiatrist, and they know all these neurotransmitters and how to help get things working correctly again. And so if you have Monday blues, get a cup of coffee. If you have major depression, go see a psychiatrist. And I'm dead serious about this. This is the way to health. I mean, if you're just in a funk, do one thing. If you're getting ill, you really need to do something else, and you will not be able to get out on your own very typically if you're in a major depression. What I want to talk about today is neither one of these. And I'm being clear to say I'm not trying to address some of the painful situations that exist on these other areas because they're very real and they're very important. I want to focus our attention where most of us live most of the time, which is in the middle here, in the middle of this spectrum, where it's not just a little Monday morning funk and it's not major depression where illness is set in, but I'm in this middle of life. I'm in the wear and tear of life. I'm in the place where David found himself over and over again, where Jeremiah found himself over and over again, where the people of God get, that's in this middle area of dealing with darkness, dealing with depression, dealing with the wear and tear of life. And that's where we want to focus. And so to get us started, let's look at a little video clip here about this.
Life is, at times, good, comfortable, rewarding. It's that feeling of being full. Things are going in the right direction. At other times, it's somewhat less than ideal. It's more like manageable or controllable, never more than satisfactory. The glass is half full or half empty, depending on how you look at it. Still, there are other times when life can be so dark, so brutal, so completely and totally empty that it seems that the glass has been drained entirely. We are dry and parched, existing in our emptiness, unsure of how to fill ourselves back up. Finally, we lose our hold on life and we fall. Our our lives become broken and shattered, and we feel like nothing can put us back together. Yet, it is here in our brokenness, in our desperation, that we cry out to God. It is here, in our complete and hopeless emptiness, that we discover the fullness that only comes from Jesus Christ.
So God is coming today to say in this middle area, in the wear and tear of life, that we can overcome depression. In fact, He's created a whole kind of song for us in the Bible to give us a way to overcome depression. And here in Psalm 13, we have the pattern for us in this Hebrew blues that has, as it were, a series of rungs of a ladder that we can grab and begin to move as we overcome depression in our lives. That's what God wants us to look at today. And we find in the first two verses here of Psalm 13 that in this pattern, the first thing that happens is we have to grieve to God. We have to come to grips with this darkness. We have to come to grips with these thoughts and feelings of depression. And we find David setting the example here, as we find in the other lament psalms and lamentations, that it begins by crying out to God and telling Him what it is we're experiencing. And he starts out, "How long, O Lord?" In fact, in two verses, he says that four times. How long? How long? How long has this got to go on? God, how long am I going to have to be here? God, how long is this going to trouble my life? How long, oh God? And then he calls out to God, "Will you forget me forever?" You ever feel that way when you get into a depression? You say, "God, where did you go? I can't find you, God. Are you going to forget me forever? Are you gone? Did you lose me? Where are you, God, in all of this?" And then he mentions an enemy. "I don't want an enemy to triumph over me." David had real physical enemies. He had armies of the Philistines and others who came against him. He had enemies at times of individuals who called him names and threw stones literally. He had enemies within his own family system. He had a son who rose up and rebelled against him. He had another son who killed one of his other sons. He had all kind of things going on. He said, I've got enemies, and I don't want them to triumph over me. And he's declaring some of these things. And this is an indication, as it says in verse 2, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts? He's saying these thoughts are in my head, and every day I'm wrestling with these thoughts. I wake up in the morning and my thoughts are filled with enemies and the distance to God and how long this has been going on, and my thoughts are going this way and I'm wrestling every day. Can you relate to that? And then he says in the next line, he says, "Every day I have sorrow in my heart." Right there is biblical depression. Every day I have sorrow in my heart. I feel these losses. I feel these situations. I feel the attack of enemies. I can't seem to get a hold of God. I'm wrestling with my thoughts, and every day there's this darkness in my heart. Every day there's this weight on me, and my mood has shifted to this place where I'm having such a difficult time. Now notice that this is out loud, and it's addressed to God, and it's specific about some of the struggles and some of the pain that's going on here in this depression. I want you to see that this distress gets expressed, this grief gets expressed. Now, oftentimes, one of our mistakes is we don't do that to God, we do it other places. For example, we like to say all that stuff to ourselves. You know, we find out from research that in our thought life, we talk to ourselves about 1,300 words a minute. The self-talk is going on about 1,300 words a minute all day long, and for some of us all night long. It's just going on. Our thoughts are going. We're just mulling over all these things. And if we don't follow the biblical guideline, we will grieve to ourselves. It's like every day, it's almost like this companion. It's an awful companion, but it's a companion. We kind of walk around all day. Well, it sure is bad. Well, it sure is getting worse. Well, this has been going on a long time. Well, it's awful dark. My thoughts are really, I've got an enemy. The enemy's coming. Here he comes. Well, this is awful. God's out of the picture. Seems like God's not doing anything. My heart has all this sorrow in it. You're just walking around like that, repeating at 1,300 words a minute all of your thoughts of grief. And as a result, it will suck you into a vortex. It will suck you into a cycle where every day that you grieve to yourself, it gets worse and worse and darker and darker. You will get caught in a spiral that will just take you down if you grieve to yourself. And then some of us, instead of grieving to God, like to grieve to other people. You know, somebody comes along and says, hey, how you feeling? You say, I'm glad you asked. It's awful. I got enemies. I got sorrow. God doesn't know my name. It's terrible. My thoughts are terrible. My heart hurts. Thanks for asking. You know, and you do that for a season, and pretty soon everybody is saying, oh man, that person's a whiner, that person's a complainer, that person's a, you know, you walk down the corridor, they kind of try to avoid you, you know. Nobody wants to ask you how you feel because they're afraid you'll answer. It doesn't help. So the Bible comes and says, hey, the first rung in this ladder of breaking through depression is you got to grieve to God. Now, out of my counseling and pastoral care, as I've helped and worked with people and prayed with people with many, many issues, one of the prescriptions that has come out of my desk over and over again is Island Road. Island Road is this road that comes right across here from the Four Corners. I don't know if you've ever driven down Island Road, kind of an interesting road. You take Island Road and go back, and you're going to hit a muck farm over here in a little ways, and then you're going to go up over a hill, and then you're going to get over into the Cicero Swamp area over there. And, you know, you can go over there and look for rattlesnakes or whatever you want to do over there in the Cicero Swamp area. And I've prescribed a prescription very often for folks is Island Road. I say, here's what you need to do next. Drive down Island Road over there, find a place where there's no cars or buildings or people in sight, any place, stop your car, get out, and at about the top of your lungs, tell God what's going on. I think there's some bark that's been peeled off some trees over there, just from hearing some of that, okay? But it's a step that we have to take. It's part of moving out of where we've been. And it tells us in the Bible that that is a great, great first move as we're trying to break out of depression. And listen, God can handle it. God can hear it. God is not going to get offended when you tell him what you're thinking and feeling. He's not going to be hurt by it. He's not going to be put off by it. He invites us to come and say clearly and openly. He says, you got to get it out. You got to externalize it. You got to speak your distress. Will you do that? Will you take 10 minutes and grieve to God? And I recommend right out loud. I mean, just tell him what's going on. You know, people find different ways to do that. I was thinking about this one fellow that was trying to call out to God, a friend of mine. And And so to get privacy, he put headphones on and put on some Christian music so it, like, he couldn't hear what was going on in the room. And then right out loud, you know, he's calling out. He didn't realize that we don't have the headphones on. You know, everybody's that's pretty funny. I don't care how you get a hold of it. Last night after the service, there were 50 cars down here on Island Road lined up. Okay, I don't care what you do, how you deal with it, but begin to grieve to God. Tell God your thoughts and your feelings. Speak to him openly about your enemies and your attacks. And he begins to move on your behalf to overcome depression. Then there's a turning in verses 3 and 4. In these Hebrew blues patterns, there's a turning where the grieving turns to prayer. And you hear a different tone when it hits verse 3 in our psalm here in Psalm 13. He's been speaking to God about these dark things, and then he turns in verse 3 and he says, "Look on me and answer." Now he's coming to God with petition, with prayer. And he's asking for an answer from God. He's saying, "Come and give light to my eyes." You hear that petition? That's a great petition in verse 3. "Come and give light to my eyes." And he begins to pray about his need and making requests of what he's asking God to do. And so here is this second rung that after we've expressed our grief, we begin to turn the tide and say, "Now, God, I'm asking for you to help. I'm asking for you to overcome my enemy. I'm asking for you for breakthrough in my life. God, it's not enough for me just to sit here. Now I'm asking for light. Where there's been darkness, God, bring light." And we begin to pray about some of our situations. So here's the question. Have you prayed about it? Here's the question for us to ask ourselves and probably occasionally to ask one of our friends that may be struggling with something like this. Have you prayed about it? I know you've tried to talk to yourself and other people and maybe even started being angry at God, but have you prayed about it? That's what the next rung of this ladder to overcome depression is, praying and calling on God and believing him for answers. And so after 10 minutes of grief, we take 10 more minutes to pray and ask specifically for answers. And then in the next verse, we have another turning in the Hebrew blues, another stanza, another kind of verse. And you find it again in the Lament Psalms, and you find it in Lamentations, that there's a turning of attention. I've grieved and I've prayed, and now I come and I take some time to meditate on and think on and call to mind and remember what God is like. I begin to look to God in the midst of this situation. And I begin to change my thoughts from where I started in verse 1. I begin to change my focus. And I begin to fill my thought for a moment on the qualities and characteristics and nature of God. And we see here in verse 5 that David particularly says, "But I trust in your unfailing love." I don't know what your Bible says there for unfailing love. It might say steadfast love. That's a common translation of this Hebrew word that David used by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a powerful word. It may say some other quality here, but this is a great Old Testament Hebrew word. I like saying it. I don't want to get too technical on you, but I like saying it because I can almost spit when I say it. It's got the consonant hey in the Hebrew. And so when you say this word, you have to say chesed, you know, and you don't want, you might get too close, you might get some on you. You know what I'm trying to say? You say chesed. And it's the Hebrew word that's translated steadfast love, continuous love. It's the Hebrew word for grace kind of love. It's the Hebrew word for God's unmerited love. It's the Hebrew word for that agape kind of love in the New Testament. It's the Hebrew word for grace. It's the closest thing in the Old Testament you'll find to that particular word. And so David says, what I begin to do after I've called on you, after I prayed to you, I'm looking at your grace. I'm looking at your love. I'm looking at what kind of God you are, how you've treated people, how you've treated me. I begin to look at this and I begin to think about it. And here in verse 5, he says, I'm trusting in your unfailing love. And then in the next line, he says, and my heart rejoices in your salvation. I start thinking about your salvation, God. Now, here's an interesting thought. Again, I don't want to get too technical. But if you go to the Hebrew that was inspired by the Holy Spirit here by David, and this word salvation, if you looked at it in your Hebrew Bible, it would the core of that word salvation is Yeshua. Does that sound familiar? That's the Hebrew name Jesus right there. Right there in Psalm 13, he says, I think of your Jesus, your salvation. Did you know Jesus is the name salvation? It is. Look it up in any dictionary you want to. That's what it is. That's what it means. It means salvation. Jesus is our salvation. And David here says, I begin to think of Jesus. I begin to think of your salvation. You're going to have for him a Messiah and a deliverer. For us, the Lord Jesus Christ who will save us and forgive us. He died on the cross for us to bring salvation. He reigns victorious for us right now to move in victory. He intercedes for us that we're not going to be overcome. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He's our healer and our deliverer. He's our help and our strength. He is the one who's wonderful. And I begin to see him and I begin to think of him. David says, I begin to think of your grace and your love and your salvation. Now he's not grieving. He's not praying. But he's doing something in his thought life. He's doing something in his attention life. You see, we're starting a series this week on renewing your mind. And over the next few weeks, we'll have four messages on renewing your mind, God helping us. And we're trying to look at this overcoming depression as part of what the Bible says is that we ought to not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. The Bible says we ought to think about that which is pure and holy. We ought to change the way we think as followers of Jesus Christ. And so we're looking at this for a few weeks. And this is part of what we're doing here. And it's because God built us with certain facilities and capabilities. He built us with what amounts to a one-track mind. We're only able to focus on one dominant thought at a time. That's just the way God made us. I could take time to illustrate that, explain it, show it from the scripture, but it's the truth that God made us so we only can really entertain one main thought at a time. And when we do that, all the other thoughts get put on the back burner for that time. And so that's the way God made us. And God also made us with this internal self-talk that we've mentioned, that we process by thinking and talking to ourselves. And our thought life goes on at about 1,300 words a minute and carries on. You know that this is working because I'm speaking right now at maybe 150 words a minute. And while I'm speaking at 150 words a minute, you're able to hear every word, take a note once in a while, look at your Bible once in a while, and at 1,300 words a minute, you still have time to think about what you're going to eat during the Super Bowl. Come on. Because you can think faster than I'm talking by about 10 to 1. And so God made us this way. And he wants us to use these facilities in the right way. And he also built us so we move inexorably, inevitably, we move to our dominant thought. We just are wired that the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That what you're thinking about, you become. And so if you're driving down the road, try it this afternoon. Driving down the road, and your dominant thought is Big Mac. Okay? You're just driving down the road, and you're just Big Mac, Big Mac, Big Mac, Big Mac, Big Mac. Pretty soon, you turn into a McDonald's. Okay? What you think about, you move toward. That's just the way God made us. And so in renewing our mind, here's the thing. If we're thinking about darkness, if we're thinking about our enemy, if we're thinking about all of the sorrow in our heart, if that becomes our dominant thought, that's exactly what we move toward. Now, this rung on the ladder says, it's time to switch what you're thinking about. It's time to take your attention to something new, and that new thing is the character and nature and the quality of God. Example is Jeremiah, the guy that's called the weeping prophet. If anybody knew about overcoming depression and walking through it in God, it was Jeremiah. And in Lamentations 3, one of his Hebrew blues, Jeremiah the prophet says, "This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." This is that section in his blues. Right now, you can read chapter 3. He's already grieved to God. He's already been praying. Now, he says, but I change my focus, and I call something to mind that I had not been calling to mind. And when I call this to mind, I have hope. Can I tell you, that's a key word, by the way, of overcoming depression. We need hope. We need hope. And that hope is not going to come when we are dwelling on the darkness. The hope comes when we begin to dwell on God and fill our mind with Him. And so Jeremiah says, but I shift my attention. This I call to mind. And therefore, I have hope. And what does he shift his attention to? Well, in the next two verses in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, he says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Now, guess what word he uses for steadfast love? Chesed. Okay. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. He says, this is what I call to mind. This is what I begin to think about. Exactly the same kind of things that David said is what he thought about. Exactly what the Hebrew blues say you need to think about if you want to overcome depression. If you want to renew your mind when you're depressed, you need to begin to turn your attention to who God is and begin to focus on grace and love and salvation and faithfulness and the new every morning. And, you know, you can sing this. Anybody know how to sing this? You know, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. You know why I know that song? Because I need to sing it. Because I need to do a Jeremiah. And say, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. I have to do a David and say, you know what? I could focus on enemies and stuff for the rest of my life. I'm going to think about grace. I'm going to think about love. I'm going to think about Jesus. I'm going to think about salvation. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. I make that the dominant thought. And because that's the dominant thought, that's what I begin to move toward. This is a very real part of renewing your mind when you're in an area of struggling with depression. And all of a sudden my clicker stopped working. So go to the next line there if you would for me. Because we come back to looking to God. We come back to focusing on the grace and the love and the salvation of God. We replace that thought with a new thought, and we make it our dominant thought. And by the way, the way to do it is repetition. The way you make a thought dominant is you kind of rehearse it. You kind of bring it by repetition. And that's why it's good to have a song or a promise or a Bible verse that you can rehearse, a promise of God that you can kind of make dominant by repetition and by focus. And as you do, you begin to renew your mind, you begin to move away. When you begin to switch that thought, what we sang about this morning begins to happen. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. You're going to begin to rise up as eagles. The strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we sang. That begins to happen when I look to God. And after we've spent 10 minutes in crying out our grief, after we spent 10 minutes in praying to God and asking for an answer, then we spend 10 minutes to say, my eyes are on you, God. What I'm filling my mind with is you. What I'm thinking about is you and what you're like, how you deal with people. And I grab that rung of the ladder and I pull and I begin to move in the direction of overcoming depression. Then there's another rung of this ladder, a fourth rung of this ladder in these Hebrew blues. In this pattern, after I've looked to God, look at what happens in this psalm here. At the end of verse 5, David writes, my heart rejoices. Boy, that's not where he was 5 verses ago. You see this transformation? 5 verses ago, he was saying, where are you, God? 5 verses ago, he was saying, how long is this going to go on? Five verses ago, he was saying, my heart is filled with sorrow every day. Now, 5 verses later, he says, my heart rejoices. I'm rejoicing. What a change. Verse 6 in the first line says, I will sing to the Lord. Boy, that's a change. That's a transformation. Because what we find in this pattern of the Hebrew blues and the laments is that at the end, there is a commitment to praise the Lord. Notice it says, I will. I will praise the Lord. I will sing unto God. I will bless the Lord. It's a pattern that comes. Now, you say, well, I don't feel like singing. Of course you don't. You say, well, I don't feel like rejoicing. I'm sad. That's the point. That's why you make a vow that says, I'm going to enforce in my life what is right and true. I'm going to renew my mind and I'm going to turn it into action. And when I don't feel like praising God, I'm going to praise God. And when I feel like crying, I'm going to sing. And when the darkness presses in, I'm going to declare the light and I'm going to rejoice in my heart. A vow of praise to God. After I've seen His love, after I've seen His heart, after I've seen His salvation, I'm going to move. And there is an amazing power in praise. There's an amazing transformation power. It's like what you saw in the fourth grade when you had a science lesson on magnets. And I don't know what grade you were in when they did it, but they bring in a big magnet, you know, and they bring in another magnet and they show you how they interact and they start pushing the opposing poles to each other. And they start and the closer they push, the harder it is to push. Do you remember that? And the closer they get together, the more they push each other apart. And they don't want to be in the same place and they kind of jump around and they move and you can push a magnet right across the desktop with the other magnet. You can do all these kind of things because there's a power that begins to oppose. And the power of praise opposes the darkness of depression. The power of praise comes in as a power of God and the depression and the darkness gets opposed. It gets pushed back. It gets moved against. When you bring praise in, depression gets overcome. There's great power in praise to lift you. And so here is this stanza of the Hebrew blues that says, okay, the way I'm going to get a hold of renewing my mind and moving ahead and overcoming depression is after I've done these things, I am going to sing a song. I am going to rejoice. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to bring the magnet of the presence of God into my life, and it's going to drive out darkness. I'm going to overcome by praise. And so sometimes the best thing we can do is take 10 minutes just to bless the Lord. Take 10 minutes just in worship. So I don't feel like worshiping. Of course I don't feel like worshiping. I'm still going to bless the Lord. I don't feel like singing. So what? My enemy's telling me to be quiet. He's a loser. Now, let me just ask you, which of the rungs of overcoming depression are you stuck on? Which of these are you stuck on? Which one do you need to get a hold of even today? Which one do you need to grab onto and say, I'm going to exercise this in the name of Jesus? David went all the way. You see, whatever happened in Psalm 13 is not the end of the story. He became a triumphant king for God. He overcame his enemies. He settled his family. His son inherited the throne. He wrote psalms and hymns and rejoicing and worship that we still sing today out of the book of Psalms. David had his depressed moments, but that was not the end of the story. He rose up, he renewed his mind, he got back a hold of God, and he moved ahead in the purpose of the Lord for his life. And that's exactly what God wants for every one of us. It's what God wants for every one of us. So where are you stuck? And what do you have to do next? This may take some practice, may take some process, but God will bring us through. Remember the spectrum. This is for those of us who are in the wear and tear of life. There may be other demands and needs that we need to be sensitive to, and God cares. But this, for many of us, is where it is right here. Let's look at this video. Remind ourselves what this looks like.
Life is, at times, good, comfortable, rewarding. It's that feeling of being full. Things are going in the right direction. At other times, it's somewhat less than ideal. It's more like manageable or controllable, never more than satisfactory. The glass is half full or half empty, depending on how you look at it. Still, there are other times when life can be so dark, so brutal, so completely and totally empty that it seems that the glass has been drained entirely. We are dry and parched, existing in our emptiness, unsure of how to fill ourselves back up. Finally, we lose our hold on life, and we fall. Our lives become broken and shattered, and we feel like nothing can put us back together. Yet, it is here in our brokenness, in our desperation, that we cry out to God. It is here, in our complete and hopeless emptiness, that we discover the fullness that only comes from Jesus Christ.
Let's just take a moment in prayer right now. Turn to Him. Come, oh God, right now into this place. Come, Holy Spirit, and move on hearts right now. Come, come, O Lord, with your touch. Now, while we're praying like this, it said right at the end of that clip that the only way to fullness is Jesus Christ. You may have tried a lot of other things, but you've never asked for Jesus Christ to be in your life. Never asked for forgiveness of your life. You've never asked Him to come and save you. You've never asked for Him to bring change to your life. Today can be the first day of a new life in Him. If you'll pray and receive Christ, He will come and make you new. He will come and forgive you. He will come and cleanse you. He will come and begin to lift you. Even this morning. There's some here, the Holy Spirit right now is calling you. You're hearing Him say, turn your life over to God. You're hearing Him say, this is the answer. I want you to pray with me with sincerity right now, a prayer just like this. God, I'm coming to you. Just pray from your own heart, your own words, but pray something like this. I'm coming to you, just like David did in the Bible. And I'm asking for salvation. Jesus, come. I receive you as my Savior. Forgive my past. Forgive my sin. Forgive my foolishness. Lead my life and make it new. And I thank you that I can have a new hope in you. Bring it today. Father, I pray for people who are praying just like that right now. Come with your great transformation of salvation. Now come with the newness of heart and newness of life in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit, move on these folks right now. Now while we're praying, if you prayed like that for the first time today, we want to bless you and help you. Let me just see where you are. Lift a hand and we're going to encourage you in God. You prayed like that for the first time. You're reaching out to Him for life. Just lift a hand and let me see where you're seated today. I had a couple of folks last night find new life in Christ. It happens all the time here. Who's praying like that today? Father, I pray for folks who have been in this middle area, this life wear and tear and darkness and enemies and thoughts of sadness and sorrow have come in. I pray for people who are in this room right now, who are in this place of life, that you're going to come right now and begin to encourage, begin to release hope in this room right now in the name of Jesus. Begin to turn the tide, oh God, from darkness to light, from heaviness to a burden they can bear. Come, O God, and break off the enemy. We say to the enemy of our soul, it's time for you to stop. Get your hands off these lives right now. We bring light into these dark places in the name of Jesus right now. We're praying for breakthrough and a turn today. A turn today, O God. Turn sorrow into joy today. Turn weeping into laughter today. Lord, turn hearts into rejoicing today. Lord, we just say it's time to renew our minds in your salvation and goodness. Bring release, bring relief in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, before we go, I want you to stand with me and do one more thing, a couple more things maybe. Prayer team is going to come. Prayer team, come right now. We've got opportunity like we had earlier in the service. If you need an encouragement, a touch, a word from God, somebody to agree with you in prayer, we've got people that will do that right now. They're going to be right at the front, and all you have to do is come and say, pray with me, pray for me. I'm looking for God's help. And He will begin to touch right around the front of this room this morning and bring real help from God. A second thing is we're going to break in just a minute, and there's fellowship out in the lobby, and here there's coffee and hot chocolate and whatnot, so don't rush off. Say hello to somebody and be friendly for somebody. One of the rungs of moving out of this kind of situation we've been talking about is that vow of praise. That thing that says, I will bless the Lord. I will sing to the Lord. I am going to have a heart that rejoices. And so before, listen, you don't have a better place to go. The roast is not going to burn, okay? So I want the band to come right now and lead us in a couple of praise things. I want you to jump in. I want you to say, I will bless the Lord right now. Before we go, call on the Lord wherever you are. Begin to bless Him. Come on, let's begin to do it right now. Come on, lift up your hands, your hearts, your voices. Come on, begin to lift out to God right now. He's here to help.